This morning, we'd like to draw your attention to the 12th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke, beginning with verse 35. As Jesus is here talking to his disciples and telling them how they should live, he said, "Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning." Now, this loins girded about, the men wore robes that were a multi-purpose garment. At night, you just pull your feet in and you slept in them. In wearing robes, though, I don't know if you've ever tried to run in a robe, but they can be very restricting. So when they would get ready to work, they would pull the robe up and they would tie it with a sash. And that was called girding your loin of the robe, that is pulling the thing up and tying it so that you can get moving, so that you can be more active, so that you know, the length of your step isn't restricted because of the robe down that you're wearing at the bottom. So the girding of the loins was the tying of the robe up with the sash for usually working, for service, for running, or things of that nature. So the Lord is saying, let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. And you yourselves liken to men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, that you may be able to open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he comes, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. Every man has some concept of life. And if someone would ask you, what is life all about? And you had to begin your answer with, life is, and then you were limited to say two or three words, what would you express as your concept of life? Some people say, well, life is as a journey. Others say, well, life is a race. While others say, well, life is an education. Some say, well, life is a game. While others say, life is a fight. And I've even heard some say, well, life's a joke. But each man has his own concept of life. Now, your concept of life determines your attitude towards life and your reactions to the things that transpire in your life. How do I react to defeat? It all depends on what my concept of life is. How do I act to delay, to discouragement, to disappointment? It all depends on what my concept of life is. My concept of life determines my reactions. It determines also my attitudes. Every man has a concept of life. You may not have formulated it. You may have never expressed it figuratively. But every man has a concept of life. What is life? Now, in all of the concepts that man has of life, there is always the looking towards the climax, the end result. If I say that life is a journey, there is always the idea of the desired destination and arriving at that desired destination. If I say that life is a race, then I'm looking towards the end of the race, the ribbon across the track, or the checkered flag, the finish line. If I say that life is an education, then I'm looking towards that period when I graduate, when I complete my education and I then graduate. If I say that life is a fight, then I'm looking towards that ultimate victory that is to be won. And if I say that life is a joke, then I'm waiting for the punchline. But in each concept of life, there is always that looking towards the end, the climax, the culmination. And each concept has the culmination as a whole part of the total concept of life. Now, the culmination is always the inspiration for the immediate. In other words, if I say that life is a journey and it will culminate in the arrival at that desired destination, and I am journeying through life, right now I'm very concerned that I take the right path so that it will bring me to my desired destination. So the immediate is always directed by the ultimate goal. If I say that life is a race, then I want to be careful that I'm pacing myself so that I don't burn out before the race is over. I want to be careful that I'm in good training. And so the inspiration for the immediate is always determined by the ultimate goal that I'm looking towards. If I say that life is an education, then I want to take those courses. I want to study those things that will prepare me best to receive my degree. If I say that life is a fight, then I'm concerned with the strategies by which I might overcome the foe and the obstacle in order to ensure my victory. Now, some people have never really defined their concept of life. You may say, well, I don't know. I guess that life is just trying to amass enough money to be comfortable. To get enough so I can retire someday. That person might say life is a game of Monopoly. There are other people that say, well, I think that pleasure is one of the most important things in life. And work to them is only a necessary inconvenience in order that they might get enough to get back to the pleasure that they want. And so they might say, well, life is a party. Life is a blast. But every man has his concept of life. Whether or not you've ever expressed or even thought of it, your attitudes, your actions are actually being determined by what your concept of life is. Now, here in our text, Jesus declares for us what should be the true concept of life for everyone who has chosen to follow him. Jesus said, "And you should be like men who are waiting for their Lord." And so it's an interesting concept of life that he gives to us. We are to be as servants who are waiting for their Lord to come. The concept of life. I'm like a servant waiting for his Lord to come. Now, in this concept of life, unlike other concepts of life, the time when my Lord may come is an indeterminate time. I don't know when that's going to be. You see, men usually mark their lives by their birth and by their death. And they usually put these boundaries. Well, I was born in 19 such and such. And of course, we put the markers on the grave, you know, 1902 to 1948. And a man's life is boundaried by the day of his birth and the day of his death. But not so that person who has chosen to follow Jesus Christ. I don't look back to the day of my birth as the beginning of my life, but I look back to the day that I submitted my life to Jesus Christ. That's when life began. And I don't look out to the day of my death as the day when my life will end, but I look for the day when my Lord is coming. So I don't know when that's going to be. It's an indeterminate period out there. It could be before I finish the message this morning. So when I have this concept of life as a servant waiting for his Lord, I realize that my Lord could come at any moment. And thus, I want to live my life in such a way that should he suddenly interrupt me at any moment, no matter what I'm doing, that he would be pleased with what I was doing at that moment. You see how your concept of life can affect your attitude towards things. It can also affect your reaction towards things. Like when I put the first scratch in my brand new car. It happened the day I bought it. And at no fault of my own, I had parked in the parking lot of the supermarket. And when I returned, some dastardly person had done it to me. They had left the imprint of the corner of their door in the side of my car. Scratched it, left a ding, a little dimple. And suddenly, all of the joy of being a new car owner was gone. All of the elation and the joy that I'd felt driving from the dealership to the supermarket had dissipated. And I was so miserable, so upset, as I drove home. Until My son, who came out to look at my new car, looking around, spied the ding, said, "What's that?" And I began to vent my feelings concerning some inconsiderate nut in the parking lot. He said, "Oh, Dad, it's all going to burn." And my concept of life was corrected. And my reaction was corrected. And it became what it should be. Hey, it's all going to end. The Lord could come, you know, now. What difference does it make if there's a ding in the door or not when the Lord returns for me, you see? That doesn't mean anything. And so it altered my reactions. It altered my attitude. Because I was able to, again, see life in its true concept. I'm just a servant waiting for his Lord. My Lord may come at any moment. Thus, having come to this new concept of life, the beginning of my life was when I yielded myself to Jesus Christ. The end will be when my Lord returns. Those things that happened to me before I met Jesus Christ become rather meaningless. Paul the Apostle, in talking about his past life before the Damascus Road meeting of Jesus, said, "Those things that were gained to me, I counted loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ." All of the past accomplishments, all of the past preparations, nothing, loss for this new beginning that I have. And then in looking at life and his attitude towards it, he said, "For me to live is Christ." And he looked for his Lord to come for him at any time. He lived in anticipation for the Lord's return. With this concept of life, my goal is always out of sight. I never know when it is going to come. I can't look down the road and say, "Well, in 5 hours, I should arrive at my destination if I continue at this speed. For I might arrive at my destination in the next 2 seconds. I can't, as a man who says life is a race, look down and say, 5 more laps, and I'll come to the finish line. Because it could end for me at any moment. The man who says life is an education. 27 more units, and I'll graduate. But I might graduate today. The Lord could come for me anytime. And thus I am as a servant waiting for his Lord, and I cannot really see when the end will be. It could happen now. For at any moment, my Lord is going to come in a twinkling of an eye, and I'm going to be changed into his own glorious image. And I wait for that moment. At any moment, the trumpet can sound, and I'm going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And so the Lord says that we should be like servants who are waiting for their Lord. Now, every man has immediate goals in life. But those immediate goals are always subservient to the ultimate goal. Now, my immediate goal is to finish this message, to convey this particular truth to you. But that ultimate goal is the Lord to come for me, and if he should come before I have finished with my immediate goal, fine. I have no problem. But the immediate goal is in harmony with the ultimate goal, so that when my Lord may come, if he comes before I am finished with this sermon, and realizing that it is very possible that he might, I want to make sure that I am conveying the message as he would have me to convey it. And I am very diligent in seeking to somehow bring across to you this important truth, the necessity of having the right concept of life. And knowing that this might be my last opportunity to speak to you about these important issues, I want to make sure that I make myself clear and that you can understand. And it puts a great importance on what I am doing right now at this moment. If I am in a business dealing, realizing that my Lord can come for me at any moment before I have finished this business transaction, before I sign the contract, I want to make sure that this business transaction is honest, it is clean. Because he may come before it is consummated. And I don't want any part of it to be shady or dishonest or colored in any way, so that my Lord would not be pleased with that contract that I am making. You see how the immediacy of the Lord's return begins to have an effect upon all that I am doing. My whole attitude, all of my reactions are measured by this fact. My Lord is coming at any moment. Jesus said that you should be as servants who are waiting for their Lord, so that when he comes, you may open to him immediately, the moment he knocks. Instead of as servants who are having a big party saying, well, don't know when the Lord's coming, let's just live it up. So that when the knock comes on the door, wait a minute, Lord, got a few things to clean up here, you know, before we come and open the door. And you know, your life is in a lot of shambles and mess that needs to be taken care of before you can really open to him. Catch you embarrassed, unexpecting. Jesus said, no. You should so live your life that at any moment when the Lord should knock, you're ready to open immediately. Now, Jesus spent 40 days training his disciples in this concept. After his resurrection from the dead, for 40 days he was turning up in unexpected places and in unexpected times. They'd be sitting together eating dinner, and suddenly the Lord would appear. He would come right there. They never knew when it was going to happen. They would be talking in a locked room, and suddenly the Lord would be in the middle of the room, and he'd enter right into their conversation. They'd be walking along the road, and suddenly the Lord would be there with them. They would be out fishing, and suddenly the Lord would be on the shore. And for 40 days, Jesus was training them in that concept of living as though the Lord was going to appear at any moment. You never knew when that moment was going to take place. And he was training them in this concept. Be careful what you say, Thomas. The Lord's going to appear at any moment. You don't want to be saying something that would be dishonoring or displeasing to him when he comes for you. What a tremendous concept of life. And what an effect it has on me and the way I live my life. It first of all causes me to want to give all diligence to everything I do, to make sure I'm doing it right, to make sure I'm doing it in the way that would be acceptable and pleasing to him, because he may come before I am finished with this particular task. It causes me to seek to be honest and forthright in all of my dealings, because the Lord may come for me at any moment. It causes a great purity. When John was writing his first epistle, in chapter 3, he said, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, but we don't know yet what we're going to be. But we do know that when he appears, we're going to be like him." Now, we don't know when he's going to appear. But we know when he appears. We know he's going to appear. We don't know when. And so John said, "He who has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure." I mean, this concept of life is one of the most purifying things I know. For when my Lord comes and when my Lord knocks, I want to be able to open immediately. I don't want to have to clean up a mess before I can respond. And so he who has this hope purifies himself. It is a purifying hope within the church and creates great diligence and importance to everything I do. This may be my last chance. This may be my last opportunity. My Lord may come for me before the day is over. Should I waste it watching TV? Or should I be about my Father's business? What an effect your concept of life has upon your action. Now Jesus said, "You should be like men who are waiting for their Lord, who when he comes and knocks, they may be able to open immediately. Blessed are those servants who, when the Lord comes, he will find them watching." God help me to be that blessed servant. Shall we pray? Lord, help us to grasp this concept of life. One of being a servant of the Lord. A servant who is watching for his Lord. A servant who is waiting for his Lord. Give us diligence in those things that we do. And help us, Lord, to do all things for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Where did your life begin? Where will your life end? What are the borders of the boundaries of your life today? According to the Bible, if you have not submitted your life to Jesus Christ, your life hasn't really begun. You may spend your entire time on this planet Earth never living. And for you, life is a waste. Life is a tragedy. Life is a mistake. But if you have submitted yourself to Jesus Christ, then you should be as a servant waiting for his Lord. That when he comes, you'll be ready, for you'll be watching for him. What an important concept to begin 1983. This is the way the Lord would have you to live in 1983. Because I personally hope he comes before the end of 1983. This may be our final year of serving him. These may be our final opportunities of doing his work. Oh God, help us that we will do it in such a way that he'll be pleased, that it'll be most effective for him. God, help us to establish priorities and not to be wasting our time, but using every minute for his glory, because our Lord is coming at any moment. We don't know when. Help us to live, oh God, in that light, in Jesus' name.